I heard the Lord tell me that you're going to be like Samuel. And Samuel, as a young boy, he heard the voice of the Lord, and God spoke to him. And the Lord says he's going to speak clearly to you, and you're going to have wisdom and insight in the area of business. God's going to bless you in a way that's far beyond even now that you can think of. The Lord's going to give you creative ideas, and it's going to come because you can hear the Lord's voice. And so I just felt the Lord say that you're going to be a blessing to many people around you. It's going to be in the area of finance and business. And I don't know what that means, but I know that there's a calling on your life because there are many people praying for you. Even now, there's people that are praying for you. And so could I pray for him? That's your mom? Can I put my hand on him? I just felt like I should pray real quick. Father, right now, I just thank you for this man of God, and I just impart the gift of prophecy to him. Lord, that he would hear your voice, Lord, and thank you for the calling that you put in him. Lord, release it, Lord, even at a young age, in Jesus' name, amen. Love you, buddy. Yep. And then this young guy, what's your name? What is it? What was it? Jalen. I love it. Jalen. So I saw the Lord. I heard the Lord say he's going to give you a heart like David. King David was a great worshiper, a man who was extravagant in his worship. And so God's going to make you a powerful worshiper in many different ways. Like, you're going to write songs. You're going to have creative gift in the area of worship. It's going to be far beyond anything you know right now, but it's going to come easy to you. Where other people, and they might struggle, you're just going to pick things up, but it's going to be from your heart of love to the Lord. And so God says he's just calling you like King David. He's going to anoint you like King David, and you're going to lead his people, but you're going to have a gift for worship. It's going to be a powerful gift. God's going to bring it out of you in due season. Amen? Amen, amen. And then this guy, that's your brother. Okay. What's your name? Deontay. Deontay, I saw you as you were singing in the spirit. I saw you on your knees, and you were praying and seeking the Lord. And the Lord said that because of your heart for him and the way that you've set yourself to pray and that you're going to continue to do it, the Lord's going to give you, I felt this, he's going to give you a greater maturity and anointing in the area of worship, to where when you sing, you're only going to sing before the audience of one. You're going to sing to the Lord. And there's something that's powerful about your voice and your gift. But God says, I just saw you on your knees, and I saw angels surrounding you, like shoulder to shoulder, watching over you. And they're going to guard your mind, and they're going to keep you focused upon the Lord and keep you from all the distraction, all the noise, all the things that the devil would send your way. I felt like God said he's going to guard. You're going to have a sound mind, and the song of the Lord's going to come from you. It's going to be a powerful song that's going to come from the secret place because you've been with him. And so the Lord says, when you sing, you're not going to care about anyone else. It's going to be pure. It's going to be powerful. And there's a maturity that's coming, like a quick growth in the Lord because of what he does in your life. It's going to be quick, over time, rapid pace, where God just raises you up and sets you as a leader. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. So grab your notes if you didn't get them when you came in. Just wave your hand. What time do you guys usually get out of here? 11:30. All right. We'll go quick. All righty. Well, today I'm going to talk about healing. Okay, so we're going to go through the notes a little bit. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Before I get into that, I just want to explain a little bit of who I am. I've been born and raised in York, PA. And when I was about 18 years old, the Lord just took a hold of me. I grew up in the church, but I was very lukewarm. And the Lord just saved me from lukewarmness. And I decided I wasn't going to go to college. I was going to go to Bible school and become a preacher and tell people about the Lord. And so I went to college in California, then in Kansas City, Missouri, and then I was a missionary in Guatemala. And so during that time when I was a missionary, my grandfather passed away. And so if you're If you're familiar, if you've been in the York area, my grandfather owned Jay's Market. Does anyone know Jay's Market? Okay, Jay Miller, that was my grandfather. And so I got to speak at his funeral, and during that, after I gave the message at his funeral, my grandmother came up and shared a story, and she told me that as when my grandfather was running his businesses, he was very successful, had a lot going on, he was praying one time in his pool, pacing back and forth, swimming, he loved to swim laps. After he swam his laps, he was pacing in the pool, and he said, "Lord, would you raise up one of my sons or my grandsons, call them into the ministry?" And he heard a voice speak to him, say, "Son, I've called you into the ministry." And it was so loud that he looked around. He said, "Who said that?" Right? He's like this audible voice of the Lord. And my grandfather never fully answered that call. And a few years later, the Lord took a hold of me as his grandson, first generation pastor and preacher. And so I felt led to share that for grandparents in here, that your prayers, and parents, but your prayers will outlive you, okay? So keep praying for your kids. It doesn't matter how far they look or where they're at in life. Keep praying. Amen? Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about healing today. It's an honor to be here. Thank you for opening the door for me to be here. I love this church. I've said it. My wife and I have said, you know, if I wasn't a pastor, I'd come here. We love your pastors. So again, it's a great privilege to be here. I'm talking about healing today, okay? And this is a very basic message, but it's one that I think every believer needs to get a hold of. And so if I say anything that you can't find in the Bible, right? If I say something crazy or weird and you can't find it in the Bible, I want you to challenge what I say, okay? I want you to say, okay, what does the Word say? And that's why I'm giving you the notes. Because again, with healing, there's a lot of different viewpoints on it. My viewpoint is correct. Praise the Lord. I'm kidding, but seriously. But let's pray, and we'll just jump right in. Father, thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the worship. Thank you for fellowship. Lord, we can come every day, Lord, every Sunday to this place. And Lord, throughout the week, we can encounter you in this place. Thank you for an open heaven. Thank you for angels ascending and descending. And Lord, we thank you for the redemptive work of Calvary, of what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we praise you. We say, come, Lord, and break through in the area of healing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in your notes here. Start on page one. The call of a Christian is to be Christ-like. Okay, I know this is very basic, but we're to walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, act like Jesus. We reach other people like Jesus. The Bible says we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus. And so when you look at Jesus, it's not like, wow, he's like amazing. He is amazing. We're going to talk about him in a second. But we look at Jesus and we say, that's what God wants to make us like. He wants us to make us like his son, right? He wants us to become like him. So here's how 1 John 2:6 says. Here's how it puts it. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. Okay, so my daughter, she's 13 years old, has a WWJD bracelet. Anyone wear one of those? What would Jesus do? I thought they went out like 20 years ago, but I guess they're back. I don't know. You know, and I was thinking about that phrase, what would Jesus do? You know, you're driving your car, someone cuts you off. Like, what would Jesus do? But I think the question that we need to ask is, what did Jesus do? Right? When you look at his life, what did he do when he walked the earth? And so, because if we're to walk like he walked, what did he do? So when you read the Bible, there are four basic primary things that Jesus did on a regular basis. Preaching, teaching, healing, and deliverance. Okay, now Jesus did a lot of stuff, but those were the four primary things. Wherever he would go, he'd preach the gospel of the kingdom. He would teach and make disciples. And then he would demonstrate the power of the Lord through healing and deliverance. Like this is, he did it in Galilee, in Judea, in Samaria, wherever he went, he did the same exact thing. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them, and great multitudes followed him. So let's look at these four things real quick in your notes. Preaching. Preaching and teaching are a little bit different, okay? Preaching is the proclamation of the good news, of the gospel. We're preaching, declaring who Jesus is and what he's done. So when you preach, you're trying to convince, right? You're trying to persuade people. You're trying to get them to believe. It's a little bit different than teaching, which is more of an equipping thing. So when someone's a preacher, if you know of maybe David Wilkerson or Billy Graham, right? Their aim is to persuade. It's evangelistic. It's prophetic in the way they bring the word. Teaching is a little bit different. It's instructing people how they should live, right? So you're helping people. You're equipping them to live the Christian life. It's more pastoral. So when Jesus taught the Bible, or he didn't teach the Bible, when he taught the word, he was the word made flesh, but when Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7, when he finished that teaching, they looked at him, and they were stunned. They said, who is this man that preaches and he teaches with such authority? Like this, no one could teach like Jesus. Right? He was phenomenal. No one could preach like him. But he didn't just do preaching and teaching. He healed the sick. So healing is demonstrating God's power to heal bodies, hearts, minds. And again, Jesus was phenomenal. When he would go into a city, he'd heal a fever, and then he'd raise someone up out of a wheelchair. Like Jesus, no sickness or disease or anything was beyond the Lord. Like he was the master healer. We're going to look at it in a second. But Jesus did more than healing. He also brought forth deliverance. I mean, he set people free from bondage, torment, strongholds, addictions. Like Jesus was a powerful, powerful deliverer. Amen? So in a church, what happens is usually we focus on like one or the other. Like there might be a church that's very evangelistic. They're preaching, giving altar calls every Sunday. Some are more teaching. They're there to equip you in the Bible. I know some that teach the word, but they don't even believe in healing. They don't believe God does it today. I have some good pastoral friends that for some reason don't believe God does miracles today. But then you have others that all they do is want to do deliverance. Right? And Jesus did all four, and those are all four that we need to embrace. I'll give you an example of this in my own life. When I got saved, I was probably 18 years old, 19. I read the Bible, and I saw that the way that Jesus lived, and I thought, this is for every believer. Like, this is normal Christianity. And so I would take my mom out, and we would go to Walmart and pray for people. She thought I was nuts, okay? My mom was like, she'd like stand 10 feet behind me, like, Mom, we're going to pray for people. Jesus said, you'll lay hands on the sick. So I remember there was this one time where I went into Round the Clock off Route 30. And it was a Wednesday evening. I'm there with my friends. I see a guy with a neck brace on, like a big, you know, one of those big white neck braces. And I felt the Lord say, go pray for him. So I come up to him and start talking to him. Here he went to seminary, broke his neck. He's in a lot of pain. I was about to pray for him, and as soon as I was going to pray for him, he said, well, I want you to meet this friend of mine who's a pastor. And this guy walks up, maybe 5 feet tall, three-piece green suit, red hair. He looked like the Lucky Charms guy. I mean, like, if you want to know what he looks like, that's just look at the Lucky Charms box. Like, and this, here he's a Pentecostal pastor. Okay, so he comes up to the table. And I'm a new believer. I don't know all this stuff. I just know a little bit from the Bible. And he said, oh, so you want to pray for this guy to see God do a miracle? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, why not? You know. And he starts to ask me theological questions that I didn't really know about. He said, do you speak in tongues? And I was like, yeah, you know, because I was filled with the Spirit, and I spoke in tongues in my prayer closet, like, as a prayer language. I kind of knew what that was. Had that a little bit, and he said, do you speak in tongues? I said, yes. He said, can you speak in tongues right now? I was like, yeah, you know, I can. He said, that's false. You have a demon. And I was like, what? You know, he said, you can only speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. It's like, you have a demon looking right in my eyes. And then he said, were you baptized? I said, yeah, I was. He said, were you baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit? I was like, yeah. He was like, you were deceived. You can only be baptized in the name of Jesus only. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, Jesus said, you know, go and make disciples and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Like, I was like, okay. And I never knew anything about Pentecostal, like the stream that he was coming from. And they said, what version of the Bible do you read? I said, I read the New King James. He said, well, you're deceived. The King James only is the only Bible. And he gets up in my face, literally with like veins popping out of his neck, an inch away from my face. And he said, you have a demon, and I'm going to cast it out of you. That's what this preacher said. It's like, dude, chill, man. Like, you know, I don't need to pray. Just let me eat my burger here, you know. And like, this guy was like literally up in my face. I thought he was going to punch me. And it really messed me up a little bit. I stopped praying for people for a while. And because I didn't have all the theology. I just knew, like, you know what, Jesus, this is what the way Jesus did ministry. And this is what he calls us to do. So that's an example of someone who's crazy about deliverance. And he said, you know what, before he left, he said, there was a young man just like you that came into my church on Wednesday, and I cast a demon out of him for 2 hours. And you need to come to my church. I was like, buddy, you ain't never seen me nowhere near your church, man. That's not the way to invite someone to your church, man, you know. But Jesus, that said, Jesus gave us the example of how we're to live. Jesus didn't give us an option whether or not we believe in healing or deliverance or whether we can preach or teach. Like, Jesus demonstrated the very life that God wants for us if we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was always God. When he came, he was fully God, fully man. But in his ministry, he lived as a man dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I don't want to, it's a big teaching, but Jesus showed us what would happen if we lived filled with the Spirit and empowered by the Spirit. This is what God has for you. This is the way that you can live. So I'll give you some examples of this. Luke 4, I'll quote this for you in your notes. Give you one verse here. But Jesus got baptized by John in the Jordan. The heavens open up. The Spirit comes down like a dove upon him. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Jesus gets sent into the wilderness. Y'all remember the story? Tempted for 40 days by the devil. Fasting, praying. It says the Spirit led him into the wilderness, but he comes out from the wilderness after smashing the devil with the word 3 times. I love how he did it. Jesus comes out, and it says he comes out filled with the Spirit. Like, Jesus, something happened in the wilderness where Jesus is now, he's dangerous in a good way. He goes right into Nazareth, the city where he was brought up as a young boy, goes into the synagogue, and it's the time to read the scroll, and Jesus takes the scroll, the prophet Isaiah, turns it all the way to Isaiah 61, stands up in the midst of all the people, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And they're all looking at him. And Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And they're like, who is this man, right? Jesus, the whole story goes on where he says a couple of things they don't like. They go to take him, throw him over a cliff. And it says he walks through the midst of them. I love it. They can't touch him. It's not his time yet. But Jesus left from Nazareth. And literally, he started his ministry with fireworks. Demons screaming out. Every sick person, every diseased person was healed. Like Jesus was unlike, that's the reason we talk about him today, right? We celebrate his birthday. Like Jesus, this book is the most read book in all of human history. Like this man, Jesus, literally changed all of history. The Spirit was upon him. The Spirit anointed Jesus. And boy, I would have loved to have seen it, but devil, watch out, because this guy, amazing. Acts 10:38 says it this way, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So notice it's highlighting his humanity. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. The Greek word's dunamis. It's this miraculous, dynamite, supernatural power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So how did he heal the oppressed? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, right? He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Letter D, our life assignment as a Christian, just for every person, is all about co-laboring with Jesus in reaching the world, right? So when we talk about the Great Commission, that word literally means co-mission. Like we're sharing, partnering in the mission of Jesus to reach all the nations, to reach every person. So we are sent with the same mission that Jesus had, with the same power, that's called the power of the Holy Spirit, and the same gospel. That's how we're sent. John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. Well, how did the Father send him? Preaching, teaching, healing, and deliverance. You say, well, that was only for Jesus. Well, let's look at Matthew 10, verse 1. When he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. Now, that word power in this verse is actually authority. It's exousia. It's different from dunamis. When you see the word power in your Bible, it can be either dunamis or exousia, right? So here it's the authority that Jesus gives. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And then he said this in verse 7, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven, it's at hand. Like I'm here, the king is here, and he's brought his kingdom with him. It's at hand, it's within reach. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. Then in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? Right? So if you were born on an island and you had no religious experience and like a Bible just washed up to shore and you read it, like you would say, you know what? The life that Jesus lived is the life that he calls me to, and that's what normal Christianity is. Right? If you read the Bible for the first time, you wouldn't say God doesn't heal the sick. Like you'd be fully convinced, like he's a healer, he's a deliverer, he's a savior, and he calls me to partner with him in his mission. Amen? Amen. Turn to page 2. You guys are like me, man. I'm not a long-winded guy. I like getting right to it. The Bible speaks for itself, you know. I just want to communicate what the Lord's given me. So we're going to look at three truths about the healing from the New Testament in the life of Christ. Again, I know these are basic, but it's helpful to just kind of lay a groundwork for you. I have no clue where you guys are at with this and how much is taught. I know it's part of the DNA of this church, so this is probably, you know, repeating what you already know. But again, it's good to be reminded. Number one, first truth about healing is that Jesus is a healer. He is the healer. So when Jesus came to the earth, he didn't just come to redeem us from death and darkness and maybe take us to heaven someday. He's going to do all that. But he came to bring us healing, right? So this was a big part of Jesus' mission. I was talking to my wife about this. I think it's amazing that when Jesus came, like, this was central to his mission to heal people. Like, he loves the human body and he wants to heal us. It's all through the Gospels. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. He loves healing. Like, it's just part of who he is. It's what he does. And that's one of the basic benefits of the new covenant, right? The covenant that we have is a better covenant than the old. It's a new covenant. It's a better covenant. It has better promises. And a part of our new covenant is divine healing. So again, Jesus, when you read about healing in the Bible, Jesus put healing on the map. Like, he's the one that brought it to a whole nother level. So don't think of healing didn't start with the Pentecostal charismatic movement. It didn't start at Azusa Street or with Kenneth Hagin or Benny Hinn or Todd White. Like, Jesus is the one that brought it. Like, he put it on the map. Like, this is Jesus. This is a big deal to him to heal people. So let's look at some examples of this. I've given you maybe 5 or 6 here in your notes, but I could probably give you 50. I mean, that's how it's just probably more than that. But I mean, it's amazing. Matthew 8, verse 16. It says, "So they brought to Jesus many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word." And that word, he was just a go, and the thing goes. I mean, just authority that Jesus has. Demons would see him and cry out. Like, they didn't know what to do with this man who had the spirit without measure. He cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. Everyone say, healed all. Right? I didn't write that. It's right there in your Bible. Verse 17, "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself, he took our infirmities, and he bore our sicknesses." Right? Isaiah goes on to say, it's by his stripes we are healed. Then 1 Peter 2, it says, by his stripes we were healed. Like, looking back at redemption, Jesus has already paid for our healing. It's already done. Jesus took care of it. Matthew 9, verse 35, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Everyone say every. That's a lot of sickness, a lot of disease going out of people. Matthew 12, verse 15. Now again, Matthew, has anyone seen The Chosen, that series? Right? They portray Matthew as this real, like, detail-oriented person. That's how Matthew is. And Matthew's paying attention to every detail. And look what he says. Verse 15. "Great multitudes followed Jesus, and he healed them all." Now, if you remember when Jesus multiplied the fish and the bread, 5,000 men. So we think, we don't know how many women and children were there, but thousands upon thousands. And Matthew's writing, he doesn't exaggerate. He's speaking as it is. Multitudes follow this man, and he healed every single one that needed healing. Like, whoa, Jesus. Oh, man. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that, man. Talk about closing down Wellspan. You know, I mean, this guy just, Jesus was on another level. Like, whoo. And the Bible doesn't exaggerate. It's speaking the truth. Luke 4, verse 40. Now, Luke was a doctor. Right? Luke was a physician. So if anyone could see through false miracles and fake healings, you ever see YouTube videos where they try to expose everyone and they're just hateful of people who believe in the gifts of the Spirit? If anyone could discern false miracles, it was Luke, the physician. Look what Luke says. I love it. "When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases, they brought them to Jesus. And he laid his hands on every one of them." Everyone say, every one of them. And he healed them. Whew, man. I love Jesus. Luke 6, verse 19. "Multitudes gathered, and power went out from him, and he healed them all." Everyone say, all. So again, Jesus, he healed them all. This is amazing. There weren't enough books, John said, to write down all the miracles Jesus did. We only get a small glimpse in the Gospels. Like the books can contain the wonders of Jesus. And Hebrews 13, verse 8, you can circle this in your notes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Meaning he was a healer, he is a healer, and he will be a healer. Amen? Like, it's just the way he is. He can't be anything less than that. That's who he is, and he loves to bring healing. So again, I want to build your faith a little bit about Jesus and who he is and what he really brings to the table, because we're on a different level, different playing field than Oprah's book club. We have the Spirit. We have Jesus who's turned history upside down. Like, we're this group here, I'm telling you, if we believe this stuff, there's no stopping. I mean, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. I love it. So, point number two, this is a big one that you need to understand. If Jesus healed everyone that came to him, you need to believe and know that it is God's will to heal you. Okay, so I say that because a lot of people don't believe it. Like, well, maybe not. Maybe God's purifying me through this sickness, and we don't really believe the Bible. So here's three points to this in the middle of your notes on page two. Because Jesus healed everyone, this tells me three things. Number one, sickness and disease are from Satan. Okay, so I'll give you some examples there. You can look them up later. Luke 13, verse 16, there was a woman that came to Jesus. She's bent over. She couldn't walk. Jesus raised her up, heals her in the presence of all the Pharisees. And they're questioning Jesus, how could you heal this woman on the Sabbath? And Jesus says, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound for 18 years be healed and loose from her bondage? Notice Jesus said Satan bound her for 18 years, right? God didn't put it on her to teach her a lesson. Like, this is, the devil did that. It wasn't the Lord. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Acts 10, 38, Jesus came to heal, the verse we read. Right, he came to set free all who were oppressed by the devil. Amen? You got to clear that in your mind. Number one, it's from the enemy. Number two, no sin, sickness, or disease is more powerful than the Lord. Right? So he didn't come to a leper and say, you know what? Like, ooh, your case is a little bit severe. I'm going to go to this guy with a fever. Nothing was beyond the Lord. It didn't matter what the problem was, and it doesn't matter what the sin was. I say that even in your own life. If you're struggling with an area, Jesus has paved the way for complete freedom. Amen? Oh, you got to believe that. Don't think, okay, I've been stuck in this bondage for 10 years. Like, there's freedom in Jesus. He is far more powerful than sin and sickness and disease. They can't stand before him. Number three. Here's a big one. Third thing that this tells me is that you never again have to pray or should pray, if it be thy will. Okay, so Jesus answered the question. It is his will. He healed everyone that came to him. Right? So let me just give you an example of this in Matthew 8, verse 2. It says, behold, a leper came and worshiped him. Now, if you know a little bit about lepers, like during the time of Jesus, there were three stages of leprosy. The worst stage, their skin literally would eat their flesh. Like, they're just an open wound where they're walking around. They had to be wrapped up, and you don't touch a leper. They don't come to you. You don't go to them. Like, they're separate. They stay away. They're contagious. A leper comes to Jesus. And Matthew writes this, and this is the first miracle that Matthew specifically records, because it's amazing. A leper comes to Jesus and worshiped him and said, Lord, if you are willing. Now, you say, Lord, are you able? He said, if you're willing, here's the way I take that. If it be your will, Lord, would you heal me? Would you make me clean? Then Jesus, look at this, verse 3, puts out his hand, right? You don't touch lepers. They don't touch you. Jesus puts out his hand and touched him. Matthew's writing this down like, this is good, Jesus. Puts his hand out, touch him. I am willing. It is my will. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. That means the flesh grew back and was healed. I don't know how it happens. Immediately it was cleansed. It was gone. Powerful. But again, notice the way Matthew records it. Lord, is it your will to heal me? And Jesus said, yeah, it is my will. I'm going to heal you. Never once did Jesus say, I cannot heal you because it's not God's will. And remember, he prayed for multitudes, thousands. Now, one example in the Bible did Jesus say, you know what, I can't heal you because you're being purified by this sickness. And so I've heard people teach that over the years. And what I say to that is sickness is not God's method of discipleship, meaning God's not using sickness to make you more like Jesus. Now, he can teach you through it. When we go through trials, and you can learn a lot, you know, but that's not his method of discipleship. It's not the way God makes us like Jesus. If it was, we would all be sick all the time. Are you with me? Because we're all not like Jesus, right? We need to be a little bit more like him. We would all be sick. The church would be the sickest place because we're all... And no, it's not his method of discipleship. Okay, so here's the way you have to understand it. Healing is like salvation. The Bible says God wills that all come to repentance. That God save all men and all would come to repentance. Not everyone will be saved. Okay? When we give an altar call and someone doesn't respond and get saved, we don't say, well, it wasn't God's will to save them. God wanted to save them, right? For various reasons that didn't happen. And so when it comes to healing, if we pray for someone and we don't see this immediate result, we don't say, well, it wasn't God's will. Like that literally puts a wet blanket on your faith. Don't do it. Just, I would say this, believe the Lord to the end, okay? I just had a brother that I was at his funeral this past week, last 2 weeks ago, and in and out of stages of cancer, and we prayed and believed, and my advice to him was always, don't sit back and just say, well, you know what, God wants me to have this, and he's going to purify me through it. Say, no, this is of the enemy. I'm going to war against it to the very end. So believe. I just want to encourage you. Just hold the line and stand in faith until the very end. Again, let the Lord deal with it because we know it's his will because everyone in heaven's healed. Are you with me? All right? So that brother passed away. He was in his 50s or I think he's in his 60s of cancer that he had for a long time. And we prayed and believed and believed. And maybe we didn't see the manifestation of it here, but he is healed. And he is dancing and rejoicing before the Lord. And everyone in heaven is healed. Praise the Lord. So that's how you know it's his will. If it wasn't his will, there would be sick people in heaven. Everyone's healed. Everyone's delivered. Everyone's set free in heaven. Okay? So it is his will. Now, we contend for it even now in the midst of all that we walk through. And we believe to the very end. Okay, third point that I want to make here. Jesus is the healer. It's Jesus' will to heal you, and Jesus wants to heal through you. Jesus did not say these signs will follow the pastors. I love Pastor Sherry and Brad and Pastor D, and signs will follow them, praise the Lord, because they believe this book, and they believe the word, and they're filled with the Spirit. But the Bible doesn't say signs will follow the teachers, or signs will only follow the prophets, or the evangelists, or the apostles. Signs will follow those who believe. Amen? It's not just someone who says they're a Christian. It's believing believers. Are you with me? Right? If I was writing Mark, and I'm writing Mark 16, I would say these signs follow believers who believe. I know of a lot of believers who don't believe. Okay? Right? So that's important. Like believers that believe the word and stand upon it. Faith is all that is necessary to receive and release the miraculous. Okay, so everything that God has purchased for us in redemption is accessed by faith. It's by grace through faith, right? Salvation, we're saved by grace through faith. So faith is vital. And y'all know this. This is a faith church. And but this is the Bible. I mean, I could, again, this is a whole separate teaching. If you don't, I mean, there, you could. It's basic Christianity. Okay, this is. I love it when you hear people. I know pastors that attack healing miracles, the faith movement, and you look and you say, you know what? The faith movement, it didn't start with Kenneth Hagin. Now, he may have taken it to a level, which I'm so thankful for, but like, it started with Jesus. Jesus is the one that taught all this stuff. He's just getting a revelation of what Jesus accomplished, right? It didn't start with Smith Wigglesworth or John G. Lake. Like, this started with Jesus. This is what he taught us. Faith is not based on feelings or even facts, meaning if you get a doctor's report and says, well, you're doomed in 2 months. Faith is based upon the word of God. This word takes precedence, and you stand upon it. Praise the Lord. It's truth, right? The word is truth, and you stand upon the truth of the Bible. Even if you don't feel it, you don't feel it. Even if you don't see this instant miracle in your life, stand upon what the word has said. Amen? He sent his word and he healed them. Like something powerful about believing the word. And if you need healing scriptures, I would encourage you, go on YouTube and look up Kenneth Hagin healing scriptures. He reads them off. It's so, what'd you say? The books, okay, it's in the bookstore. It just builds your faith to stand upon the Bible. Again, this is basic, but it's so important. Faith takes a hold of the word before it even manifests, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So even if you don't see it, faith believes it. Amen? I'll give you an example of this in my life. The very first time I saw a healing, I got a prophecy when I was a kid that I would pray for people to get healed and the Lord would heal people. And but the prophecy of this guy, I don't know who he was, but he said, you're gonna start with animals and pray for animals. I'm like this little guy, like, what are you talking about? You know, like, sure, okay. And 12 years old, I had a St. Bernard. You know, my family, we love St. Bernards. My grandfather had it, my parents had it, St. Bernard, big dogs, like Beethoven dogs. And I came home from school one day and my St. Bernard was like dragging his back legs. I couldn't walk. And talked to my parents. We didn't know what was going on. Found out he has cancer. And it was just common for that age of that dog, and it was in trouble. And one day I came home from school, dog could barely move. Something came over me. Like the gift of faith came upon me. And I walked up to my dog and I said, you will not die of anything but old age. Period. Get up. I'm serious. I literally, this is the God's honest truth. I'm not crazy. Told my dog, stand up. And just looked at me like, what are you talking about? You know, put a leash around him. Lifted him up. I couldn't move him. You know, St. Bernard's weigh like 200 pounds. Like they're pretty big dogs, right? And so I threw a little treat out in front of him, and he would drag his legs to get there a little farther. I put a leash around him. I had to pull him to get him. I said, no, you will not die of anything but old age. It was just me in the house, right? This is the truth. This is the Lord will, I'm not exaggerating. This is a God's honest story. And he was getting a little better as he's walking around the kitchen. I was like, no, he's going to be healed. I will not accept anything less than complete healing. We're going for a run. Took my dog, dragging my dog outside. Took my dog. Literally, we started running through the neighborhood, completely healed. My parents came home from work, and they said, "What happened to Buster?" You know, yeah, you can't believe it. Either I'm crazy or Jesus just did something powerful in this dog. And he lived like 5 more years, way beyond the age of a... But there has to be something in you, and it's the Lord. It's not like your own willpower. It's like this is the Lord puts a faith in you to believe. And by God, he's going to do what he said he would do. And you just accept nothing less than what he said. There's something that God's looked at that and says, okay, that thing that was in my dog, it's gone. I don't know how. No surgeries happened. But within 30 minutes, we were running full speed around the neighborhood. And I knew Jesus is a healer. And it would start with an animal. Praise the Lord. Right? So I'd go around looking for like turtles and squirrels. And you know, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. But again, so faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith declares the word and uses the authority that God's given us. So when you look at Jesus, when he healed people, there's not one example in the Gospels or in the book of Acts where when they would pray for someone for healing, they would say, Lord, would you please touch this person? And I've prayed that way until I read the Bible, and I thought, you know what? Every time Jesus prayed for someone, he would say, be healed. Ears be opened. Stretch out your hand. Demon, go. Right? He's speaking to it. There's not one example where he's saying, Lord, please, oh God. Actually, there's one example that I found in Acts chapter 4 where they're in a prayer meeting. It's the only example I found. Every other time they're using the authority that God's given them to heal. But Acts 4, they're in a prayer room. They say, Lord, look upon their threats. They say, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders will be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And they prayed and the whole place was shaken. Right? That's the only time where they're praying, Lord, release healing. So I'm not against like prayer times where we pray, Lord, would you release healing? But when you're praying for someone, if Liz is praying for me, she needs to say, cancer, go right now. You have no right here. Right? You speak the word, right? You declare it. Because there's something that moves. You're not telling God what to do. You're telling that thing that the enemy put on them to be gone, and it goes. Are you with me? It's not weird. It's not crazy. It's biblical. It's basic Christianity. Tell it to go, and it goes. Right? You're praying, and someone's struggling. They're dealing with an issue with the demonic. You can sense it in the spirit. Like, oh, Lord, please cast this demon out. No, you tell it to go. It'll listen. You got Jesus on the inside of you. I mean, come on. Right? The Spirit's in you. Right? You have the Lord. Like, this isn't, when you became a Christian, you didn't just get a little passport to heaven. Like, you became dangerous. You got the Spirit of the Lord filling you, making you dangerous around other people. We may not always live that way, but I tell you, like, you are dangerous. You have to believe, like, there's nothing impossible for the Lord. I'm not the healer. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. But Christ in you is powerful. And just believe him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Right? So you've been enlisted in the army, and you've been given weapons far beyond what you know. Like, Oprah's book club walks around with little water guns. And you have an arsenal in the Holy Spirit, spiritual weapons that are powerful. They are powerful. I mean, really, really powerful. And so when we walk about and go about life, and y'all know me, I shared the last time I was here, I work at FedEx, right? That's what I do every day, surrounded by people that don't know any words other than curse words. And I don't go in there, and I'm not always smacking people over the head like Benny Hinn, you know. That's not, like, I go walk into work and I say, Lord, help me to be light, salt and light. You give me an open door, I'm going to share it. If you don't, I'm going to work hard and be a good example to these people. And but let me walk like Jesus walked and be like Jesus. But I tell you, there's, if a time comes where someone needs healing, I'll be darned if I don't get up and say, no, that thing's going in Jesus' name, right? This is for every person. This is for people that work 9-to-5 jobs. This isn't for like Todd White. This is for every person, amen, right? So again, let's believe the Lord and stand upon what he said. Let's end with this. Mark 11, verse 22. I'm 16 minutes over, Lord Jesus. Okay. Jesus said, have faith in God. I love that. It's one of my favorite verses, two verses in the New Testament. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, sometimes you guys speak to that mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. Like, what mountain there? I just speak to it. But he does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. That's important. Whatever he says, he'll have it. Verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen? That's how Jesus taught. That's Jesus' faith teaching right there. You got a mountain? Speak to it. It'll move. When you pray, believe the Lord. He'll answer. You'll have what you ask. You'll have what you say. You just speak the word, stand upon it, and Jesus, he'll do the rest. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to pray for a couple people in here. First of all, if you have any dealing with any type of sickness, disease, cancer, or know someone close to you that does, can you just stand up? I felt like there was someone with depression. You feel like a spirit of heaviness over you? If that's you, could you stand up? Also, someone that's dealing with a lot of stress, like anxiety, whether it's from school or the workplace, you just feel like a little bit overwhelmed. Amen? Okay, so that's a lot of people. So let's find someone around you. All the ones that are standing. We're going to pray for one another because I could have you guys lined up and I could try to push you guys over, but you each have the power of the Spirit flowing through you. Amen? So if you're standing, if you're seated, just like that, yep, put your hand on someone around you or come around them. And if you're a group together, if y'all could just squeeze together and put your hands on one another and just, you remember what Jesus said, they will lay hands on the sick. When you lay hands on someone, there's something supernatural that happens. It's not weird. You're not putting pressure on them to receive anything. But there's a transference that happens when you lay hands on someone. Father, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you are the healer. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who has paid for our redemption in full. Lord, you've purchased our salvation and you bought our healing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So right now, God, we just pray over these ones. Like, so if you're there, your hands on someone and you're believing for one another, go ahead and just begin to pray. Pray it out loud. Pray, ask the Lord to just release his healing. If you need to ask that person what it is, ask them and then tell it to leave. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you're the healer. And so we declare healing over sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to depression. You spirit of heaviness, leave right now in Jesus' name. Lord, any hopelessness, any spirit of suicide or darkness, just feeling like you're in a cave, I speak freedom to you in the name of Jesus. Depression, oppression, leave right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak to stress, Lord, and anxiety. In Jesus' name, we command it to leave. Go right now. Thank you, Father. Any spirit of fear, we command it to leave in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lord, we ask for more. More, Lord. In Jesus' name. Just ask the Lord for more. Just more. More of your Spirit, Lord. More, Lord. We plead your blood, Lord. We command the enemy to leave his... Let your people go right now. Let God's people go. In Jesus' name. Lord, any demonic assignment, I just break the power off of it in Jesus' name. I break the power of it over them in Jesus' name. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. We speak your word, Lord. We send your word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And Father, we just thank you for Pastor D and Brad and Sherry. I pray a double portion blessing upon them as they're away. Lord, we thank you for a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.